We were going to get to our top 10 storylines of the past 10 years in Toronto.
Yes.
All positive. We're going to put a positive spin on that. I guess we'll push it to tomorrow.
Yeah, we can push it tomorrow.
We can not do it at all.
Well, we've already put in the work. That's the thing. We already kind of calculated everything and got the boards built for TV and all that kind of stuff. So we'll push it to tomorrow. Well, we had content. We were prepared to lay out some content, and basically our own content got bumped because of the big news in Toronto today.
It is big news. But
out of nowhere. Completely out of nowhere.
It's in Leaf fashion.
I didn't even know he needed a new deal. Brendan Shanahan gets a 6-year deal. I guess his deal had expired. I didn't know that.
On a Tuesday at 4 o'clock, oh, by the way, we just extended our president.
Right.
For a boatload of money.
Six years.
I'm assuming he's making some pretty decent money. I'm sure.
I'm sure he'd do it for free, though.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's the president of the club, Brendan Shanahan. Would you have continued to do this job for free?
I think that might have been my my opening the first time they talked to me about an extension, but luckily they didn't take me up on that.
Right. Well, congrats. I mean, we were just saying it came. We weren't aware that your deal was up, the original 5-year deal. So, how long has this been in the works?
You know, the team approached me actually over a year ago, and I just sort of felt that I had a lot on my plate, and I didn't want to be taken care of it. It seemed very far off. And I expressed to them even then that I wasn't going anywhere, and that I had no intention of leaving while we were in the middle of this, and I wanted to see this through. And so I think at a certain point during this season, they reached out again, and I started to understand that come this July, I was essentially out of work. So I understood their urgency in actually sitting down and talking. So at a certain point during the season, we had an understanding. We had sort of a handshake. And again, I just said, it's not the right time. When the season's over, I'll sign it. So just recently, I sort of made it formal by signing, but this was sort of a handshake or an acknowledgement that we had throughout the season.
Well, it's been a whirlwind 5 years, very successful 5 years for the most part. I mean, you guys are still waiting to get over the hump in the playoffs, and we'll get to that momentarily, but a lot of heavy lifting. Where do you think you are in this journey? Are you, 30% through, 50%, 75%? Where is this journey in terms of where you are today?
Well, I honestly, even if I try, I don't know that I could give you an accurate number as far as the percent of where we are. I like where we are. I think we're at the beginning of this journey. I like the players we have. I like the staff and the direction and the support we get from our ownership to do what we need to do, the support that we get from our fans. A couple weeks ago, we lose in game 7, and we're just like the fans at that point. It's like you almost just want to say, like, what is it? What are we doing here? And why this isn't any fun? And let's not do this again. It's too painful. It hurts too much. And then you wake up the next morning and you say, okay, how do we make ourselves better next year? And you get right back to work. And you owe that to your team. You owe that to your city. And so you immediately start becoming more optimistic and thinking, about things you can do. So, I believe with the development, the scouting, the resources we have, the players that are already here, and I really saw growth in them this year. I saw growth in the way they played, even though the result was the same. I thought that the difference between our series against Boston this year and the previous year was very visible to me. 2 years ago, I felt we were chasing the series constantly. I thought that this year, Boston's experience sort of prevailed in Game 7, in certain moments in Game 6 as well. But, it's really tough, to gain experience without going through those experiences. And I can't give them mine, and a coach can't give them theirs, and Ron Hainsey can't give them his. The players actually have to go through it themselves, and those are the growing pains of becoming a Stanley Cup caliber team.
With Brendan Shanahan, the president of the Maple Leafs, who signed a new 6-year extension to stick with the team.
Shanahan, you talked about moving forward. Is it difficult not to get fixated on the Bruins? I mean, there's been a lot made of the schedule and playing the same teams over and over again. I mean, if you look at it next year, you might be looking at the Boston Bruins again in the first round. Is that something that's part of the deal?
Yeah, you know, I think you go after the things you can control, though, and I think that, you know, I actually, you know, people ask me a lot, even just watching the Bruins now, I think the Bruins having the success they're having is good for our players and their development in the sense that it's like pouring salt into an open wound. I see the Bruins advancing. I'm not looking for them to advance to give us any form of cover. I think that them advancing is a daily reminder to our players that you can feel very, very far when actually you're sometimes very, very close. And it's those little incremental, you know, improvements you can make. And sometimes it's just, like I said, it's experience and it's with attitude and it's with, firmness and dedication. And, you know, we had a player ask me at the start of the year, like, what do I think about with our group and where are they with our development? And I just said, you know, I don't know that we've got enough scar tissue yet. And you don't get scar tissue without falling down and scraping your knees. So you'd love to show up on the scene and just sort of have a Cinderella arrival similar to, you know, Chicago did a few years ago and just arrive and win. And for the most part, for the most of the teams in the NHL that have success, it's hard fought, and it's sometimes it's not quitting, and it's just gaining more and more grit.
Brendan, you guys lose to Boston in seven. A couple days later, you have locker clean-out, and Kyle speaks to the media and says that you guys were going to do like a forensic audit of the whole organization, and Kyle, you know, came out and said, oh, I have to find out if I still have a job. I'm not going to give anybody else a vote of confidence. You know, what type of scenario has to happen? I guess, do you guys sit down, like you say, the next day, or you're disappointed and you start to go through and pick up the pieces and see maybe what you're missing? Is that the type of work that you did in the 10 days afterwards? And then Kyle came out with a statement saying that Mike Babcock is his coach moving forward, tremendous confidence in him. So was there a lot of work in leading up to those comments, was there an audit of the organization from top to bottom?
Well, Noodles, please tell me nobody said forensic audit.
No, I'm trying to find better words.
I don't know what he said, though. It was something smart. If it came from Kyle,
believe me, basically a going over from top to bottom.
No, I understand. I was thinking like Matt Cook and Eric Carlson, but Well, put it this way, I would say that, you know, you're right. You're preparing a game. You're actually preparing your travel schedule for where you're going to be the next couple of days. You have to prepare as if you're about to advance and you're playing another game. Where are we playing that game? So to suddenly have your season end and then have to go out a day or two later and sort of assess the team and assess the past season, assess the present, assess the future. It's difficult. I would say going forward, the way that I'm a big believer in process. I know that Kyle is as well. And I think going forward, you could probably expect whether we have a very disappointing finish or we have a very, very happy finish. You know, we have an obligation to speak to the press that day and locker cleanout day. And like I said, whether we're very happy or we're very sad, I think you can count on the fact that there's always going to be a take a step back approach and sort of examine where we are, you know, myself included. But where can we be better? How can we improve? So I think it's just a case of expectations. And I think going forward, that's what people can expect on that day, that we're not necessarily going to start discussing management or future decisions. It's really just too raw and too soon.
With Brendan Shanahan, he's got a new 6-year deal as the president of the Maple Leafs. You know, you're talking about your team earlier in this discussion and how they're still young, they're still a little bit raw, and they need to maybe accumulate some scar tissue. I guess the same thing would apply for your GM, who was a rookie GM, and he walked into a team that was very good on the ice, but there's a lot of moving pieces off the ice. Obviously, we know what went down with William Nylander, then Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner's up next. What did you see out of Kyle this year that you hope maybe he has learned from? And are there any areas where maybe he needs to continue to grow?
Well, I think we all, I don't care whether we're young, old, new at this, or have been going at it a long time. I think you all, you have to keep evolving and growing, and you relearn and you unlearn and you relearn. And I think that for, I thought he was ready. I thought that he stepped into, obviously this is a job where it's very much in the public eye. Right out of the gate, he had a very successful, acquisition of John Tavares. I think that he handled that really well, and I think he handled the job really well. And I think that it doesn't matter whether you're in Toronto or you're in a small market, not a hockey market in the United States. It's a challenging job, and you're being constantly evaluated by your peers. And I think that I think Kyle did a great job.
Mike Babcock is a guy, Shanny, that's been around a while. I think everyone that covered the Leafs had the article come out. If he's going to come back, he's got to change. Do you think that's a, you know, those are fair headlines out of Mike Babcock? Like, he is coming back, but he needs to change in some of the dealings and handlings of the players?
Well, I don't think many headlines are fair. Do you guys agree with that? But I would say that it's fair that we expect all of us to improve. And like I said, I think if you're not always improving and looking to evolve, then you become a very stationary, stagnant target. And I'm a big believer in that as an organization. And so I wouldn't pick any one guy out. I think that should be an organizational, philosophical approach that you have to constantly be moving and evolving. The game that we're playing and the style of the game and the type of game that brings you success today, it'll be different in 6 years or in 8 years. And so you're constantly, like I said, I'm a big believer in sort of relearning new things. And I think that it's sort of unfair to put it all on one person. And I think that, you know, he's got a really difficult job. Like, I have the luxury sometimes of not having to speak every day, because if I did, I'd probably say some things I really regret. And Kyle doesn't have to speak every day, but our players and our coaches, they do. They're really out there and they're exposed, and it's not always fun every single day. So I would say that philosophy, quite frankly, applies to all of us.
Well, I think the biggest talking point, there have been many of them, when it comes to Babcock, was how many minutes he's playing as star players. And these guys are making a lot of money. Tavares making a lot. Austin, it's going to kick in for him. Nylander, et cetera. We know what's coming with Marner. Where do you stand on that, this development, this evolution of the game, where it comes and goes, where, you know, in every era, I guess players are utilized a little bit differently, but McDavid's playing 23 minutes a night. McKinnon's playing 23 minutes a night. Is that an area where you feel like, especially in the cap crunch, where you guys are paying these top guys so much money, you need to play them more?
You want me to start talking about coaching and ice allotment now?
Yes.
Of course you do. You know, I'm a believer that. Whatever you think your best strategy and game plan is for going the full distance is really what you should do. Now, you're always going to be having people that will say, like, a few more minutes here, a few less minutes there. I don't think it serves any purpose for me to start going into those details. I think we've got great, great players, and I think that they're still evolving, and Mike is, you know, you look at the way that 2 years ago Mitch Marner didn't kill penalties. Now this year, Mike uses Mitch to kill penalties. He becomes, I think, you know, one of our best penalty killers and a real threat and a real danger to the opposition's power play. So I think that these things are always going to continue to evolve.
In terms of Mitch Marner and his contractual situation, I wouldn't expect you're going to get into the details on the show, but you know the anxiety in the marketplace with what happened with Nylander and with all the money that is believed to be, sought after here from the Marner camp, so to speak. Can you give us any idea of the relationship between the team and the player and where this is going?
Well, I think the relationship between the team and the player is great. I think he's an amazing hockey player. I think that. He came into the season in the last year of his contract and actually improved, and I think that he had an amazing season. Took a lot of courage to do that, and so kudos to him for having the faith in himself. We had a meeting today. Kyle and I had a meeting with his agent, Darren Ferris. I thought it was a positive meeting, and we're not going to discuss any of the details. But Kyle said at the end of the season that it's priority one, and we're not afraid to like tell Mitch how much we love him, how much we want him here. And you know, I think that there are the workings of a potential deal. Just the fact that it seems like a good fit, but there's always a lot of work to go in something like this. But today was a good meeting, like I said, very positive. But I think the rest of it and the details and things like that, you know, it doesn't provide any use to the process to have any of those things leak out or discussed as we go along. But we feel the same way that I'm sure you guys do about Mitch Marner.
Well, you said earlier in the year, back in September, I believe it was, pertaining to Nylander, you know, that you were hopeful that your guys would be willing to understand that it's a hard cap. And if you want to stick around and if you want to build something special, maybe sacrifices are going to be made. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but it didn't seem to happen with Willie or Austin. Do you feel like that's a possibility with Mitch, or has that come to an end?
You want me to go down that road again?
Yes.
Yeah, I think people like to say we're paraphrasing because it's not exactly what I said. But look, it was, you know, I think you saw from that deal and from the other from Austin's deal, like it's important to us that it's vitally important to us that these are our partners, these are our players, that they have to first and foremost feel good about their deals, feel that it was fair and that they've been fairly treated. So beyond that, I'm not going to walk down that road anymore and insert myself into that part of the process. We think he's a great player. At the end of the day, I think he's got to walk away and feel good about where he is and how he's treated. And I'm hopeful to get there as well.
All right, so Larry King's done with you, so we're going to I actually wanted to – we had a spirited debate as to, like, what does the president do? I mean, as far as hockey ops, and is there a lot of business behind the scenes that we're not – I mean, can you tell us what your daily routine looks like, I guess, during the regular season? Are you involved in the team as much as you are in the business side?
You know, I think it would just be really boring radio if I were to start going through my daily routine for you guys.
Just tell us if the big shooters at Bell and Rogers have ever, like, come to blows when you've been around. Have you seen anything crazy with the owners or what?
I'll be honest with you. From my very first board meeting 5 years ago, I've often said I don't know what goes on in the spirit of competition you know, with Bell and Rogers amongst themselves. But when it comes to the Maple Leafs and then MLSE and the Raptors and all their other, you know, TFC and Argos and their sports teams, their interests are aligned. And they're all Torontonians. They all live here. They've got families here. It's an important part of the fabric of the city of Toronto to have successful sports teams. We love what's going on right now with the Raptors. We feel like there are brothers, there are teammates in this. So we love seeing them have success. I've never seen it. I've never seen any animosity in those board meetings because I always think that their interests are very, very aligned. They want their sports teams to be good.
Well, congrats on the new deal, the new extension. We always appreciate you finding some time for us. I'm sure we'll get it. We'll bother you again down the road at some point. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much.
There's Brendan Shanahan, president of the Maple Leafs. Six more years, 6-year extension.